It's funny, I think 5-0s in general, they think that they have to start doing more to be a pro. They have to, you know, increase their hand speed, they have to add these new attacks and add this different spins and whatever. It's all this, I think they're overthinking it. I actually think that you should start doing less first, and if you have a bigger swing and if your reload speed is a little too long because your swing is too big, try to do less first and then see where that takes you before you do more. All right, so before we hop into this show, I have to talk to you guys about Selkirk Nets. They've been huge for me, huge for my game. I had a long history of playing on temporary nets that were just not satisfactory. You know, I've been in this game now for a little bit, and I remember when I was playing with temporary nets where if you hit it, you know, an inch from the top of the net, if you hit it hard, it's going over. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just not a high-quality net. And I was something of a Colin Johns as it related to those, you know, those net cords just getting mad all the time at them. And it was a pet peeve of mine. And then when Selkirk came out with their nets, I couldn't have been happier. And the truth is, they came out with their nets before I was signed with Selkirk, and I had already gotten one. So this is a pretty genuine thing. I mean, they do have the best nets, and I feel pretty happy to be able to advertise Selkirk nets because I know they're the best, and if you've played with them, you know they're the best. So shout out to Selkirk, and be sure to get Selkirk nets at selkirk.com/collections/nets. Okay, so we're back with another episode of the James Ignatowicz Show, and we are going to address a question that has been asked to me now 3 times in my YouTube comments, which is, what are some of the things that differentiate 5-0s from pros? And I would probably know this better than anyone because I am, I'm the top 5 or top 10 pro that has been most recently been a 5-0 because I, out of anybody in the top 5 or, you know, whatever it might be, I have been playing the least long, and I was a 5-0 2 years ago, or actually less than that. So I know the answer here. And the first thing that I've noticed that is a huge differentiator between 5-0s and pros is the size of the swings on the volleys. So I think this is because pros are hitting the ball harder and 5-0s are hitting the ball softer in general. There is a little bit of a discrepancy there. So pros are used to having smaller swings. And I've gone back and I've watched film from myself from, say, a year and a half ago, and my volleying swings were much bigger. And that's often going to be the case with people that are coming from tennis. Because in tennis, you take bigger swings. You know, in pickleball, it's almost closer to like, I don't even know, like a hitting a speed bag, maybe, with a backhand counter, backhand punch, that is. In tennis, the volley swings are bigger. So people that are 5-0s, from what I've seen, their volley swings are just bigger. And when I play with 5-0s, I feel much more comfortable attacking them, and I really feel like I can get them with some tricky stuff, off pace, and then occasionally even go for the full bag, because their swings are just bigger, and their swings are accustomed to the pace of play that you would see with 5-0s. And their reload speed, because of the size of those swings, that reload speed is less. So I think one of the biggest things, it's not all, you know, genetic factors. You know, people say you can't improve your hand speed, or you can only improve your hand speed a little. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, because if you look at the pro, I mean, maybe it is, right? But I don't know if that's actually the differentiator between 5-0s and pros, because if you look at the pros, their volleying swings are smaller, and you'd ask yourself, well, why might that be? Are they genetically inclined to have smaller volley swings? I don't think so. I think that they've been either taught that, or they've taught themselves that, or because the pros are hitting the ball harder, their swings have naturally morphed into a small, compact volleying swing. So if I were a 5-0 again, I would right away try to decrease the size of my volleying swings, because you may not need it now, but if you're trying to get better, and also, by the way, the paddles are getting more powerful, the balls are moving faster, and in general, the game is speeding up, you might want smaller swings. So I would get out there and just do some cooperative volley-to-volley hands, and just have as small of swings as possible. Try to keep the elbow in front. That was one thing that helped me a lot. It was, you know, my elbow was going behind my body, my elbow was going here on my forehand counter, and then when I decided to just keep my elbow in and just volley right here, it was a huge, huge change for me. And if you look at the guys with the best forehand counters, their elbow isn't really wildly going out behind their body or to the side of their body. Their elbow is kind of being kept tucked in. And I'm not saying that you should consciously think, okay, every time I hit a volley, I should have my elbow tucked in like this. I mean, you want to be generally not thinking when you hit these shots. You want to be pretty smooth. But if your elbow is going wildly around or wildly behind you, which you will see a lot at the 5-0 level, some big, big forehand counter swingings, well, you should stop doing it because it's really not necessary. You know, with how powerful these paddles are, there's a ton of pop and there's a ton of response with a small swing. I would just shorten up the volleying swings and then get comfortable with generating a lot of power from a smaller swing. And this is kind of a secret that I'm going to give out to you guys. I did a ton of wrist workouts and a ton of forearm workouts because forearm strength and wrist strength and generally just explosiveness in a very small swing, you know, this motion, that's all wrist. And volleying, like, you don't want to use any wrist on your dinks, any wrist on your drops and resets and whatnot. But when you're hitting a hard backhand counter, there is wrist. There's a lot of it. And there's a lot of forearm. And for me, it was huge, like, just to do wrist workouts. And I might actually be explaining those in my newsletter, which can be found at james-ignatowicz.com or in my Instagram bio. Feel free to check it out. Another shameless plug of my own newsletter, which I hope you would be accustomed to by now. But yeah, I really think that having smaller volleying swings is so important. And as you go down in level, the swings with the volleys get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, you'll see 4-0s just taking massive swings on all their volleys. And you really wonder why that is. I guess it's because the balls are coming slower to them. But as you get better, you might be thinking, are my hands just not fast enough? You know, somebody asked me that, a 5-0 that played with me. I was just like destroying him with a backhand speed up, which, you know, I mean, my backhand speed up is pretty tough, right? But I was just killing him. And he was like, man, I don't think my hands are fast enough to even return your speed ups. And I was like, well, they're not fast enough to return my speed ups with that big of a swing. I think you should be shortening the size of your swing and then getting accustomed to hitting hard counters, or at least counters that go down with a small swing. So that's something that I think is hugely underappreciated, just having a small swing, keeping everything out in front, because you can still get power with that small swing. And in that same vein of countering, just making sure that your body is maybe not necessarily fully leaning forward, but not leaning back. Like, when you volley, you don't want to be getting all your momentum going backward, because, you know, the momentum of your entire body is always going to be stronger than just your arm. And if your entire body is flailing backward or jumping and going upward while your arm's trying to go forward, it's not a recipe for success on a counter. So mainly for me, I'm not, like, you know, fully going this way and just leaning all the way forward into the court, but I am definitely leaning forward a little bit. I'm definitely using some momentum to kind of force the ball back. It's kind of in the nature of the punch, and we'll probably show some videos demonstrating that in the newsletter. Check it out, as always. But I think mainly, if, you know, when people are taking big swings and when they're jumping on counters and they're leaning back on counters, they're just doing too much. It really boils down to less is more. And I know Tyson says that all the time. I'm not trying to steal his phrasing here, but less truly is more. And there's a reason that when you watch the pros, they're doing less. They're not moving around when they're in hands exchanges. They're actually very still. And if you watch me, I'm bouncing up and down for the entirety of the match. And then when I do hit the ball, I'm quite still. And it's funny, I didn't really even teach myself that or do it on purpose. It just naturally happened. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, people are keeping their heads still. They're not going like this or leaning back or doing all this crazy stuff. They're taking small swings. They're facing forward. And they're keeping everything simple. It's funny, I think 5-0s in general, they think that they have to start doing more to be a pro. They have to, you know, increase their hand speed. They have to add these new attacks and add this, you know, different spins and whatever. It's all this. I think they're overthinking it. I actually think that you should start doing less first. And if you have a bigger swing and if your reload speed is a little too long because your swing is too big, you know, try to do less first and then see where that takes you before you do more. So that's how I'm going to end the podcast. Thank you for watching, everybody. Tune in next time.